Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we have some information here. We're going to be talking about ejections. So we have some information from both NFHS and the NCAA about ejections. And so we're going to go through some of those things of what can get you ejected.
Yeah, let's use the OHSAA one instead of NFHS, though. It's a little more pointed from the white book.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. So I think we'll do that. And Vicky had put out a newsletter pretty recently for the NCAA umpires to talk about ejections and suspensions for the year. They're all rules, so nothing that we shouldn't be putting out here on the interwebs. So we're just going to remind you about some rules and stuff. So Pete, from the OHSAA white book, just the intro here for sporting conduct and ejection says, "We all know the importance of good sporting conduct. This applies not only to coaches and players, but to umpires as well. Umpires are reminded to study Rule 3-6 and other rules relating to sporting conduct. Remember that potential penalties for unsporting conduct by a coach often include a bench restriction. When appropriate, we encourage that this option be used." So what are some examples of some legal acts that are not unsporting conduct?
Yeah, so one good example is you can celebrate in the dugout or bench area. Handshakes, high fives, chest bumps, any kind of celebration like that. Simulating a cross on the chest, point to the sky, raising your hand, that's okay. So, you know, you think about some people that they might make the sign of the cross and then point like at God or whatever, some kind of indication, giving acknowledgement, that's okay. Players spontaneously celebrating after a home run or other outstanding play, that's okay. So that's celebration, but then what would cross that over into the line of making it illegal?
So the use of profanity, insulting, or vulgar language or gestures, for sure. And in this one, I think about the fourth thing you said, the spontaneously celebrating together after a home run or whatever, but you can't taunt or bait or be deceitful or intimidating towards your opponent, you know, so it's not, you definitely wouldn't want to taunt the pitcher for hitting the home run or something like that. That would definitely be unsporting. So also words or actions designed to incite spectators, right? So that's mm-hmm. unsporting conduct. An action which is intended or designed to embarrass, ridicule, or demean others under any circumstance, including but not limited to race, religion, gender, or national origin. Derogatory remarks directed at a game official mm-hmm. are unsporting, right? I'm reminded of one in one of our local, it's not a city league game, but there was a game pretty recently where one of the players turned to the umpire and said, "What kind of bleep, bleepity, bleep, bleep call was that?" Mm-hmm. And it's like, "Ah, you can't do that. You're out of here." Dancing, forward or back flips, orchestrated, choreographed, or extended celebrations. So, you know, the icky shuffle. I don't think we're allowed to do that. Boy, am I dating myself on that one.
That's 1988.
Oh, wow. Bowing at the waist, making a hand salute, or striking a pose meant to incite or taunt opponents or spectators. You know, the Babe Ruth point type thing.
Probably yeah, or not. Doing something like, if we were playing a school that has this particular hand gesture, like Florida State, you know, does like a chop or, you know, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
And if you as an Alabama player hit a home run against Florida State and you did a chop and it's, you know, looking at the crowd and chop like at them.
Yeah.
There you go. That doesn't work.
Yeah. And that's actually the last one. What too was hand gestures such as choking, throat slashing, or pointing a finger like a gun.
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually a big thing right now in the NBA. There's a player that does the gun thing and he said he got tired of the NBA caring about it, so he's going to do it, and he doesn't care what kind of trouble he gets in.
Well, I guess he's paid too much money then, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, and they talk a little bit about ejections here. We're still in the OHSAA side of things, listeners, so don't get confused. There's some differences in NC2A stuff, and we'll get to that here in just a minute. So,
yeah, I'm going to pause for a second, too, to talk about some of the illegal acts where it crosses over. So it's just really important to recognize, because there is some gray area here where it's like, how do I know when a celebration turns into something choreographed? Like, for instance, I'm thinking about specifically my daughter's volleyball team. When a play would land, they would do a thing where it was like boom, 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 in a point at the thing.
Oh, right, yeah.
But it's like, it's just like real quick, and it's like, is that like a choreographed dance? Is that a celebration? Even a chest bump, you know, realizing here, they call out chest bumps, but like, if people ran together, chest bump, high five, butt wiggle, or you know, like butt yeah. bump, you know, that's like, that's not a dance necessarily, that's a celebration. It's where's that line? And so I think part of it comes to what is happening. So it seems like most of the illegal acts usually seem to be less celebratory. So me and my teammates are excited because we as a team did something awesome versus I'm now showing up the opponent, yeah. right? You hit a home run and you make some gesture to the pitcher where you're right. like, that's right. Take that junk to me, man. You know, and it's like, or you point at the crowd and you're like, just shut up, you know, yeah, that. Yeah. That you can't do that, right? Right. They've been yelling scoreboard, overrated when you came to bat.
Scoreboard.
Yeah. Right? And you start pointing to the scoreboard or you're like, who's overrated now? Oh, yep. Sorry. Yep. Sorry, that's it. So that's the difference. It's like, where, first of all, where is the celebration and activity pointed at? And then what is, there is a little bit of intent here, but it's like, what is the intent of it? If the intent was to show up the crowd there or to do something to the pitcher versus, what's the difference between the chest bump versus me sitting having an extended dance routine where, you know, where I really showed people up that,
so I'm reminded, that's a really good point, Pete. I'm reminded of the, I don't remember the team, of course, because, you know, my brain doesn't work that way, but it was everybody came out of the dugout to celebrate the home run, and they're all standing around home plate, mm-hmm. and then as soon as the batter runner jumps on home plate and lands on home plate, they all fall down, mm-hmm. boom, you know, and it's like, well, that was definitely choreographed, but I don't, you know, it definitely also was not intended to at anyone. It was just, you know, we're having fun here,
yeah,
you
that's
know,
fun.
Celebrating what was happening, so good time. So what about ejections? When an ejection does occur, there are some important steps that must be followed. So what's the first thing they got to do?
Yeah, and this is why we don't want to eject stuff.
Right, yeah, we don't want to do the work.
Yeah,
right.
There's important steps. Officials, that's us, must file a report with the OHSAA office whenever a coach or a player is ejected from an athletic contest within 48 hours.
So step one, you got to speak with the offender's principal and athletic director. So whenever an ejection occurs, the ejecting official shall speak with the offender's principal an athletic director no later than the first school day following the ejection. So call the school.
Yep. And then you have to submit a report form. So you have to fill out a form electronically, in our case, on the Dragonfly account, as it says. Go to the Dragonfly Hub. We use Dragonfly. You probably use something else, but I bet there's some reporting to your league in whatever state you're in. And this goes through the steps. You scroll down to this page, do this, click that, do the other. But the important thing is fill out the report.
Yep. Ejections other than players or coaches and other items of which the director should be made aware should be reported also.
Yeah, so it says, what's an ejection other than a player or coach? Removing a fan, you know, things like that. So
interestingly, there was a Facebook post pretty recently, might have even seen it this morning, that was talking about umpires don't have the authority to eject a fan. And while I think definitely 100% that's true in the book, the NFHS book will tell you that, you know, that's game management. I have yet in my, I think this is 9 years of umpiring, I've never seen a game manager other than a head coach.
Yeah.
And it's been pretty rare that we've had to interact with fans, but I can tell you that I've broken that rule as recently as last year. Toward the end of last high school season, I did eject a fan. It was just egregious, you know, nastiness coming from the stands right behind me. And I'd had enough of it. And so I turned around and said, "You're one more word out of you and you're done." And they ended up getting booted and they left. Now, so if we put it in black and white, we're going to say that I don't have the power as an umpire. An umpire does not have the power to eject a fan, but an umpire does have the power to make sure that a fan is removed.
Yeah.
Because you go to the game management, you say that fan's done, you know, you need to get them out of here. So they're the ones that eject the fan, quote unquote, right? Mm-hmm. But the game's not continuing until I say it continues, and I'm not going to let it continue until that fan's gone. I just got rid of the middle step. I don't care. You know, get that fan out of here. You know, the coach did ask me what the fan did, you know, to get booted. And I said, well, we're playing ball right now. You can ask me after the game. Let's go, you know, play ball, right? But so anyway, booting fans other than whatever. And it's, I would let the AD know. You know, I'd let the AD know that, hey, I had to kick out two of your fans yesterday. Or, you know, call the other school because usually it's a visitor. You know, that's getting in trouble because the home team parents don't want to get in trouble at school. But anyway, that's just my two cents. Do what the book says. Don't eject fans. Get a hold of the game management. Make game management perform the fan removal. But I didn't.
Yep. And then so there's some more stuff here about some emails and stuff that would be sent. But here's the important part, at least with our sanction anyway. An official failing to follow the ejection protocol or failing to file the report may result in a maximum of a $100 fine to the official per occurrence. So if you don't file this paperwork, you could lose $100.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah. That's because you always do what you're supposed to.
Well, that's because I don't throw people out. Right. I guess I'm not going to anymore, for sure. Remember also, Pete, that post-game ejections are possible. So umpire jurisdiction does not end until all umpires have left the confines of the field. Mm-hmm. Inappropriate behavior on the field after the game has ended may result in an ejection and will be handled no differently than an ejection during the game. Umpires are not to be harassed, threatened, followed, or menaced while coming to or leaving the field. The home team or game management is responsible for the security of the officials.
And why does this matter? So what I threw the coach out after the game? Why does it matter?
Because he's still in trouble.
Yep, because that's not, oh, yeah, it doesn't affect him managing that game. But what it does affect is if a coach is ejected, there are monetary fines. Depending on what's going on with your area, there are maybe required classes, anger management or whatever kind of classes you have to go to. You may have subsequent games that you're not allowed to coach, depending on, you know, rules in your area. So, or the rules at your own school.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and very recently, a very good umpire friend of mine, won't call him out because it was a nasty ejection, you know, that had to happen, unfortunately. But a college coach got ejected post game. You know, you approach the umpires and you say something that you shouldn't be saying. Yeah, that's it. Unsporting is unsporting, and as long as they're still at the field, you can't do it. Yep. So,
and there's big repercussions for the coach in college, right? Like,
I don't really know.
I thought they had some more severe fines, things like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's take a look here and see what it says. So that's OHSAA. That's high school stuff. And the NC2A, like I said before, Vicky put out a newsletter here pretty recently that said in all cases that involve an ejection within 24 hours, you need to fill out a report just like you do, you know, for OHSAA. You can get that report, the form available on RefQuest. So make sure that you're doing that. But and then goes on to remind us about some of the rules in what constitutes ejections and things like that. So
I was just real quickly just wrap that up there.
Yeah.
Intern just handed me a slip that in NCAA softball, a head coach ejected from a game faces a 2-game suspension, while a substitute head coach who's ejected receives a 1-game suspension in addition to the ejection.
Ooh. So yeah, that's a big thing. Don't get ejected, right? And so maybe that's why when coaches get warnings, they get quiet pretty quick a lot of times. And I know there's some review, there's a review process as well. So sometimes the actual outcome of that can be different.
It's right? Subject to an appeal basically, yeah. Or something.
Yep. So there's a few rules here that I just want to kind of cover a little bit for NC2A and Rule 13.2.3 that covers that pregame and postgame ejection. So coaches will be ejected if they engage in any misconduct from the time the umpires arrive at the site until they leave the confines of the field at the conclusion of the game. So if the misconduct occurs postgame and would have resulted in an ejection had it occurred during the game, the ejection must be served in the next game. So that's really sucky because then,
yeah,
you know, now is it three?
Yeah, basically works out to be three hole.
Yeah. Misconduct pre, post, or during the game can be verbal or nonverbal or unsportsmanlike conduct. This includes profanity, vulgarity, baiting, taunting, making disparaging remarks, questioning an umpire's integrity, or questioning the strike zone. So the questioning integrity part, I'd never thought about it this way. Jackie Schultz, shout out to you, sir. I got to meet Jackie when I was out in Oklahoma several years ago, and he told me that he would put up with a lot from a coach until somebody questions his integrity. And what's an integrity question? Boy, we're getting homered.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're suggesting that the umpire is cheating?
Yeah. How much are they paying you?
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like, oh yeah, that's an immediate, you be gone. So what about 13.3.6, Pete?
Yeah, so Rule 13.3.6 addresses making a verbal threat of harm to an umpire or the opponent. So we talked a little bit about this last episode, but the mere threat to do harm to an umpire or opponent results in an immediate ejection and additionally a 2-game suspension from the next 2 previously scheduled and played games. So that this is, we're talking about anyone on the field. This is the coach threatens you, the player threatens you, or another player. Coach threatens another player. It could be some coach threatening the first baseman.
Yeah. You know. Wow. And 13.4 gets pretty bad. So 13.4 is physical contact with an umpire or an opponent. So spitting at, pushing, shoving, grabbing, hitting, punching, or striking at an opponent or umpire with any body part or equipment. It can simply be threatening to do any of the aforementioned or the actual act itself. So actions can include throwing a cap, a clipboard, or the like, or a piece of equipment, so like a bat, a ball, a glove, etc., at an umpire or an opponent. Even threatening to do it is a violation of Rule 13.4. This behavior results in an immediate ejection and additionally a 2-game suspension from the next 2 previously scheduled games and played games. Additionally, this could get you in trouble with the long arm of the law, because what we are talking about in this physical contact, the act of spitting, pushing, shoving, grabbing, batter, hitting, punching, yes, that is batter, right? Mm-hmm. So you could actually be guilty of, you could get thrown to jail. Let's just say it that way.
Can you imagine, like, this is very serious, but it's just like there's a certain degree of this where it's a little funny to me that if I said, "Oh, I'm so mad, I'm gonna throw this clipboard at you," and that nails it, you have just violated Rule 13.4.
Yeah, so. I think when they say threaten it, I think it's like hold it up like you're gonna throw it. You know, yeah. Maybe not.
But even then,
I'm
if you're just
throw
like,
this at you, right?
Very serious though.
It is very serious. Yeah. So bat, ball, glove, you know, that kind of thing. They said a hat, you know, that kind of stuff. It's like, okay, yeah, you're gonna get booted, but we're not calling the cops, right? So, but the other stuff, yeah, if you hit an umpire,
yeah, you punch him in the face or yeah, whatever,
you're probably gonna go away in handcuffs. So, rule 13.5, leaving team area to join a brawl. So if there's already a fight going on and you go join, yep, you out of here. And then 6.20 talks about forfeited game. So if a team is on site but refuses to begin a game, or if a team refuses to continue to play after a game has started, or if a team, after having been suspended or after the game has been suspended, blah, 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 2 minutes of umpire say play ball, that's not going to happen. We're going to forfeit the game. So that one's pretty benign, but and I can't imagine happening. But the reason that these rules are here is because somebody has either thought that it could happen or it has happened in the past. So I think we need to be really careful to make sure that we've got something to address. And so 6.20 helps us to do that. So
yeah. So yeah, not only the game forfeited, the coach is ejected for having refused to play, which we already said what happens. That's basically a post-game ejection then, because since the game's forfeited, with the one lone exception being that if teams refuse to play because, quote unquote, they have got drop dead time for air travel that was agreed at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, so, then it would really kind of not be a refuse, right?
Yeah.
It's like doing what we said. Yeah.
Yeah, just like we talked about at the beginning, we got to be out of here by 3 p.m. because we got a 3:20 flight.
Yeah. And before we close this one down, I just want to leave you with this thought. Nobody should want to eject a player or a coach from a sporting event. So the preventative umpiring that we've talked about in the previous episode, try to use that, keep situations calm, and try to help coaches stay in the game. Nobody actually benefits from a coach getting ejected. Certainly no player benefits from a player getting ejected. So when the bad behavior happens, you have to do it, but try to help them prevent doing the bad behavior, right? So, and these are the unsporting, right? These are the unsporting ejections, right? These aren't the administrative ones for messing up a lineup card or something like that, right? This is because you've had bad behavior. So really try hard to keep them from performing this bad behavior. That's just my 2 cents worth. And that's what I think we have for you this episode. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, that's it. Until next time. See you then.